If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, let's roll. Get on the grid. Let's do this thing. I am Morenci. You're listening to Morenci Unfiltered on whatever platform you listen to your podcast on, or maybe you're listening to us on the radio right now. We appreciate you joining us. Jim Day is going to step up and in, and we've had a lot of issues with spelling guest names correctly. So as a betting man, I'm going to give the crew the benefit of the doubt and believe that we could pull off Jim Day, although it does remind me of when Terry Bradshaw was called so stupid he couldn't, or was it Terry Bradshaw called Hollywood Henderson so stupid he couldn't spell cat without being spotted the C and the T. So yeah, Jim Day's going to step up and we're going to talk some NFL football. Hey, listen, give credit where credit's due. I think the NFL has done something cool here, and it really is amazing to me how if a league screws up or if an athlete screws up, like, people will light up. It'll be the number one trending topic on Twitter. And, you know, it's like the outrage of the day. Like, think about the comparison. Like, if an athlete donates $1 million to a charity, does anybody say anything about it? Imagine if an athlete got caught stealing $1 million from a charity. Like, what would they do? People still talk about Cam Newton taking a computer, like, you know, 18 years ago in school or something like that, right? It's amazing. So, like, we rip these leagues all the time. We rip the leagues all the time when they screw up. But when they actually do something good, you got to give them credit. And I'm glad that I was on the right side of history and I was on board with the NBA All-Star format before, instead of the jackass clowns that jumped on. After all, that was great. You should do that all the time. Because I actually care about being right. A lot of people in the media, you know, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And they don't really care whether they're right or wrong because they don't know. I actually care. So I'm glad I'm on the right side of history. And while everybody's talking about, well, there's an extra playoff game now, that's pretty cool. Whatever. It's not about the extra playoff game, guys. You know how much cooler this makes the NFL right now? Like, the NFL, like, this is like a kick-ass move that, you know, people, I guess, they hasn't settled in about, like, what an impact this has. There's only one bye now. All right? There's only one bye now. Like, think about all the good football teams that have had a bye in the playoffs over the years. Suddenly, they don't. You know what I'm saying? Suddenly, they don't have home field advantage automatically. It makes the league so much more competitive right now. As far as another team making a playoffs, listen, a wild card team hasn't won the Super Bowl since 2012. So it's really just, that's just another game to bet on. I don't have an issue with that, but we'll break it down with Jim Day. The fantasy football ramifications of this, the impact of the competitiveness of the league, it's super cool. So Jim Day's not the only one, and we shouldn't have a problem spelling Jim Day's that name, but Danny Tarkanian could be a problem. Danny Tarkanian could be a problem. Danny Tarkanian, son of legendary coach Jerry. May he rest in peace. Class act. Nice guy. It's been 5 years since Jerry passed away. And his son Danny has written a book about, you know, the legacy of his father and the UNLV running Rebels. And not just UNLV. People forget about, like, Fresno State after the fact as well, getting Fresno into the tournament. And, you know, Danny runs the Tarkanian Basketball Academy in Las Vegas. And, of course, I used to live in Vegas, so I know all about the Tarkanians. I know all about the Basketball Academy. And one thing I'll tell you, too, about Jerry Tarkanian, you know, I guarantee you, if you meet Mike Krzyzewski outside an Olive Garden and you go up to him and you tell him, hey, coach, I'm a big fan, you know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you to go F yourself. I remember a buddy of mine loved Saku Koivu, all right, the hockey player. And Saku Koivu got cancer and beat cancer and stuff. So, you know, if you get cancer, you automatically become a good guy. So Saku Koivu actually in real life was an asshole. He was a jerk. But he got cancer and he beat cancer and he played after. So it was like, wow, what a great guy. And a buddy of mine, like, nearly, like, wanted to fight me when he would get drunk. Whenever I would tell him, listen, he's not a nice guy. And he'd be like, oh, what are you? And I'd tell him, listen, I know. I'm in the damn locker room, all right? I know. I'm aware of who he is. And so one night we're outside of a bar, man, and we're walking down the street. It's like, you know, we're leaving like a grungy type of, you know, dive bar. But down the street on St. Laurent Street in Montreal, there's like, I forget what the place is called, Buona Notte. God, am I good. I haven't even been in Montreal forever, and I've thought about this club, but it was so popular. It was like supermodels. Like, remember years ago, Ben Affleck, like, cheated on Jennifer Garner with some, like, hot, like, waitress model? Yeah, that was in Montreal. So this place, like, Formula One drivers go there. It's upscale. Like, I've been there once or twice in my life, and I think I was asked to leave. So, like, it's not even a type of place where you want to go in. It's like Johnny Depp's in there, bro, and Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, it's not a spot for us. So anyway, so Saku Koivu's outside. Koivu's outside the bar. And I'm like, hey, look. I said, there's your boy. And I totally set him up, man. I was like, why don't you go say hi to him? And I said, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. And Koivu's outside the bar, but he was on his cell phone. And my buddy goes up. He's like, Saku, I love you, man. Go, Habs, go. I love you. Koivu just looks off and goes, F off. I was like, yeah, see, I told you. I told you. But, yeah, so people like, you know, we rip these leagues all the time. You know, when they do something bad. You know, but when they do something good, it's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know, like, but, you know, really, really slick move by the National Football League. And Jerry Tarkanian, another guy who media perception. Jerry Tarkanian was, like, typecast as, like, the villain, you know, by the NCAA. Like, you know, this guy had, like, freaking battles with the NCAA. But Jerry Tarkanian, you know, legendary coach, national champion, and I used to see him outside, like, you know, he'd be outside the casino, he'd be outside the restaurant. And he was older at the time. Like, he died 5 years ago, so 2015. I was there in, like, 2012 or 2011 to 13 or 14-ish. So I was there sort of in his last years. But I swear, man, like I said, you go up to Coach Krzyzewski, he's going to tell you what Saku Koivu would tell you, to F off. All right? Like, you really think, like, every, like, legendary coach is going to take pictures with you and be all cool and tell stories? But Jerry Tarkanian was old school, man. Tark the Shark. So I'm excited. I always love talking UNLV basketball. And I'm a Michigan fan, but UNLV were just too cool not to like. Like, you know, anyone that was around in, like, the late 80s going into the early 90s, like, if you weren't down, and basically, like, you know, when it comes to the Fab Five are known as, like, the coolest basketball team, yet they got a lot of their swag from UNLV. Like, you know, the baggy shorts, that sort of pro attitude. UNLV brought a pro attitude. And, you know, people don't realize this, too. UNLV never won before. And that's the only time they ever won. And they're never going to win again. Like, so, you know, it's just an incredible story, actually. And I feel as though you should all know this, but I was doing a morning show the other day, and it came to my attention that Jared and Ariel have never seen Jaws before. So I'm not going to assume they know the in and outs of the 1990 UNLV Running Rebels. But that's the one thing that gets me about, like, a lot of people today. And it's I'm not an anti-millennial person either. Millennials have, like, inherited a crap-ass world. Your life's never going to go anywhere. You're going to inherit debt, and then you're going to die of, like, some weird climate control, like, stuff and some pandemic, like, coronavirus. Like, millennials, everyone bitch about millennials. They don't have it easy. Yeah, they got cell phones growing up. Good for them. But it's always alarming to me that people don't know anything about anything. And it's like, well, I wasn't alive then, so how am I supposed to know that? It's like, well, you know, I wasn't alive when Kennedy got shot, but I know the story. I know the details. I wasn't alive when Babe Ruth hit all those home runs, but I know the story of Babe Ruth hitting all those home runs. And same thing like in news. And like, and athletes are the same way. Like, I saw a poll about, like, black baseball players. You know, like, 68% of them didn't know who Jackie Robinson was. Like, nobody cares about anything anymore. That's why there's so much stupidity in the world. So, speaking of stupidity, I want to throw Rachel Nichols under the bus. She's kind of hot. Rachel Nichols, is she hot, Rachel Nichols? I have a bunch of, like, dudes in a room here. What about Sandro? Sandro, like, sort of, he's nodding. You know, like, Rachel Nichols is, like, sports hot. And I've been in press boxes before. Like, any chick in a press box looks hot because it's just a bunch of fat dudes generally in there, like, eating hot dogs. But I like Rachel Nichols. But for the love of God, and Sean G, I missed this. Sean G sent me the her tweet in which Rachel Nichols basically criticizes baseball, which is whatever, fine. But she goes, after watching NBA Commissioner Adam Silver take decisive action against Donald Sterling, it's hard to buy the but we might get sued or the slippery slope argument made from Rob Manfred. Hey, Rachel, have you ever heard of vagina before? Like, for the love of God, Rachel. Like, you're like a public mouthpiece for a league that just turned a blind eye to a bunch of kids in Hong Kong wearing NBA jerseys getting their skulls bashed in by dictator government. I wouldn't, you know, you want to get into the NBA, baby? We'll get into the NBA. How about David Stern covering up all the other gambling stuff? You think it was just Tim Donaghy? God, people are stupid and naive. So, you know, don't throw, don't be throwing glass stones around now, Rachel. Same with LeBron. Like, LeBron bitching earlier in the week about how he'd be irate about this. You know who's irate? Raptor fans that watch you freaking travel more than Neil Armstrong, bro. How was that? How about your goaltend against the Pacers that eliminated them when they were about to beat your ass? You've gotten more free passes than Paris Hilton in life. And you're bitching about, like, what's, you know, time and place. It's like somebody said about O.J. talking about the love of family. Hey, O.J., you better sit this one out. So, Danny Tarkanian's going to check in from Las Vegas. We've got Jim Day. Step up and in. Morency Unfiltered.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Morency Unfiltered, get on the grid. We appreciate you joining us on whatever medium you were joining us on. So we were just talking about the legend of Jerry Tarkanian and about how just, you know, listen, I lived in Las Vegas. I think the most popular people in Vegas history, Frank Sinatra, Oscar Goodman, and, of course, Jerry Tarkanian, in no particular order, I will say. Although, I'm going to tell you, I think Tark the Shark might be at the top of that list. But we're now joined by his son, Danny, who, of course, you know from the world of politics, and Vegas is hopping this week. But when isn't it, Danny? But also, of course, the Tarkanian Basketball Academy in Vegas has helped so many young kids and help kids live their basketball dreams. Danny Tarkanian joins us right now. Danny, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. And, you know, I used to live in Las Vegas. And I got to tell you, you know, I've been doing this radio and TV stuff for 18 years now. And I've met a lot of guys, all right? Like, I've met coaches, you know, celebrities, actresses, models, you name it. One of my most thrilling times ever was meeting Larry Johnson. I was doing a show on Fox Sports Radio in Vegas, and Stacy and Larry walked in, and just larger than life, Danny. You know what I mean? Like, even as a grown man,
yeah,
it was just larger than life to me. And I'll tell you what, everything about your father and the legacy that he built is larger than life. So tell us about the book.
Well, you know, there's so much misperception out there about UNLV basketball and my father when he was coaching there. I wanted to write a book that was more factual based. My mother kept scrapbooks of every article from every season he coached in. I went through all of them. I have a bunch of records from the NC Trade Court case, their hearings. I was my father's ball boy, assistant coach, actually his assistant, his player, and also his attorney. So I was a part of a lot of his life, and there was so many things that he had said and done. And one of the things I want to touch upon is what we were talking about before we got on the air, and that's the kind of people person my father was. He was able to relate with people from all across a life and really make them feel good and special. I think that's what made him so successful in life. You put him in a bar, and fans will come up to him. This actually happened on one occasion. This guy came up to me, he's drunk, and he's with his girlfriend, and coach, you should have get the ball more into Larry Johnson. You guys would be more successful if you do. And most people would say, God, oh, you get away from me.
You know, father,
he had to stand in line. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, I should do that. The guy left thinking he was $1 million, told Coach Tark how to coach, and felt great about himself. And so that was just my dad. I saw it all the way from whether it was a fan, fellow coaches, or players, even boosters. He made them feel really special.
The last time I interviewed your father, he still wasn't in the Hall of Fame yet. What did it mean to him? What did it mean to you? What did it mean to the family? I guess better late than never, right?
I think for my father, it was very, very special for him because I think it means so much to him in his career. To me personally, anybody knows college basketball understood that he should have been in there right away, but because of his battles with the NCAA, he was pretty much blackballed. And it's a popularity contest, and you can't control what other people think when they don't have the full facts. So it didn't bother me. But I know seeing the smile on my dad's face when he went up and got his award and everything, and all the players that were there, the nice thing they said about him. I'm talking Larry Bird, all the great of the greats. It was great for my father to have that experience before he passed away, which, you know, he did a year and a half later.
Danny Tarkanian with us. Rebel with the Cause is the book. Must read. Learn your history about college basketball and the legendary Jerry Tarkanian. Just such a fascinating story as well. And, you know, sort of characterized by the media at the time. You know, much more than just a man with the towel. And I wanted to ask you about this, Danny. Talk to me about his basketball coaching ability. You know, people know him as a people person. People know him as, you know, the guy with the towel, the character, Mr. Vegas, etc. But I think what gets lost, you don't win as many games as Coach Tarkanian did just by being a personality, Danny. And you know this, you were his assistant, you were around. Talk to me about what your father's basketball philosophy was and what made him so successful from an X and O standpoint.
Well, first, he always felt you had to find the thing that you could do really well and understand the intricacies, the small intricacies, and teach those. And when you could do that, you had a leg up on everybody else. So when he first started coaching at Long Beach State, in his third season at Long Beach, they were Division II before that, he took UCLA to a two-point game in the NCAA regional finals. Would have been the greatest upset in all of basketball if they would have beat him. They lost by 2 points. Afterwards, John Wooden said he had the greatest zone that he's ever played against, and my father was the greatest zone coach.
Wow.
My dad taught the small things that made it great. Then he gets to UNLV, and he loses his big guy just before the season started. He's got a bunch of small players, but really athletic. So he goes down to New Mexico, meets Norm Ellenberger. Norm tells him, you know, what he does to play pressure defense. My dad did that and made some corrections and minor changes. And then they turned into the Running Rebels, where they played full court pressure defense, raced the ball up the court. They were getting over 20 turnovers a game. Phil Ford had over 30 against North Carolina. Otis Birdsong had over 30 when they played that team. That team averaged 110.6 points a game without the shot clock and the three-point line. So then later on in his career, he said, well, you can't really continue with that full court press and be successful. So he got to the greatest man, half court man pressure defense in the country. And that's when they beat Duke. And Coach K said after the game, it was the greatest pressure man defense he'd ever seen. So he first of all, he built his team on defense. He built it on doing the small things that other coaches did to make him great. And he got his players to play harder than anybody else. And that's a big key.
Now, you were a player, and you were part of the foundation that built the program. Now, I don't think some people realize this, and you know, I'm not right about everything, but let me throw this out there, and you can confirm this. You guys sort of started the the pregame show, didn't you? Like the, you know, turn the lights off. Let's make it like even before like the NBA didn't do this. Like you guys turned it into a show, an event, right? The creator of it basically, right? In Las Vegas.
Well, UNLV was, yes.
Yep.
Before my teams. They did that in the 1970s team, the Running Rebels that went to the Final Four. They started with multicolor light shows. They rolled out the red carpet. Then they added the fireworks show, and they just made it the most spectacular pregame event ever.
That was down at the convention center, right, Danny? Those were in the convention center days?
Exactly. Yeah, started in the convention center, and then they expanded to the fireworks show at the Thomas and Mack.
Amazing. So, what did it mean? You talk about your father getting complimented from the legend John Wooden, and to beat Coach K, to beat Duke, who did your father look up to as far as coaches? Like who did your father lead? Did he tell you, wow, like John Wooden just complimented me, kid? That's pretty good. Like who did your father look up to as far as coaching, and who did he love to compete against the most?
Well, he had great respect for John Wooden, but I was pretty young at that time. I know when they played Bobby Knight in Indiana in 1987, I mentioned to him, you're going to out-coach Bobby Knight. And my father said, nobody out-coaches Bobby. He's a great coach. So I know he really had a lot of respect for his coaching ability. But the guys my dad liked the most were people that were just fun-loving, old-time basketball coaches that you can enjoy being around. He loved Jim Valvano. He thought Jim was the greatest guy ever. And Abe Lemons, who coached at the University of Texas, he loved Abe Lemons. And those were his two closest friends in coaching.
Now, one thing, that I remember at the time, they made it seem as though that your father was standing outside a penitentiary or something recruiting players. And now you find out there's all these like covers up, Danny, at all these schools where there really are bad kids. Yeah. There weren't bad kids at UNLV. He believed in treating everybody equally, giving people a chance. And look at that's what people don't realize. I think people think of like the flash and the bling and all this type of stuff. But look at the successful men that have come out of this program. From the lawyers, the attorneys, the businessmen in the city of Vegas, to professional, look at Greg Anthony and his success, look at the class acts, and that's something that came from your father giving these kids a chance.
Yeah, and I wrote a lot about that in the book because it really is a whole foundation of my father and his career. My father came to grew up very poor. He was an Armenian. They were discriminated against in the Central Valley of Fresno. He got in trouble off the court. He said it took him 6 years to graduate college. It would have took him 10 if he didn't meet my mother. But he said, once he met my mother, she put him on the right path. And because he had her giving him a second chance, he was able to succeed. So he made a determination when he's at Long Beach. He said, I'm not going to get the great players in Duke, North Carolina, Long Beach, and Kentucky. UCLA and Kentucky are getting that are great players and great from great families. But I can get the really good players that have had trouble in the past, like I did. And I know he knew how to relate with them. So he went out and got people that had problems. And what he always felt, he said, if you have an open door policy, we had it in his basketball office or at home. Players would come in, they would tell him his problems, he would try to listen to them and help their problems. They became very, very close, and their loyalty was the most important thing to my father. He said, if you can get your kids to be loyal, they'll play their hearts out for you, but they won't be loyal to you unless you're loyal to him. So he was loyal to a fault to some of his players, and he got in trouble over it. But he felt that was a way to get them to play the hardest you can, and that's what he did. He went out, and he got these players that had some past problems, and as you mentioned, 90% plus turned out to have great careers and turned out to be great people, and then one or two did something bad, and the media would portray it like those were the only people that represented former players of my father.
Danny Tarkanian with us. Danny, it was a pleasure having you on. We'd love to do it again and expand. I'd like to fire up more questions, but we're just going to go on forever. But, on the way out, what do you got for us?
No, I'm just going to say there's a lot of stories in there that shows my father's sense of humor and how he motivated the players. He did it with sarcasm and wit. Anybody who reads the book, I hope that you enjoy that part because that's the part that says the most about my father. And you can get the book on Amazon with just punching the name Rebel with the cause of my name, Danny Tarkanian.
Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us, Danny.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on. Danny Tarkanian And, you know, I wanted to go on. We'll definitely get him on again. And just to sort of walk us through the night and the Final Four and playing Duke and then subsequently losing the following season as well. I mean, you know, great coaches, they're also going to have big disappointments. And UNLV did have a disappointment. And it's still cool to this day, actually. I see Larry Johnson in this building often at Studio 34. He's an ambassador for the New York Knicks. And a funny story, quick, we got to get out of here. But the other day, the guy in the doorman down at the hotel told me that somebody came up to Latrell Sprewell and Larry Johnson the other night outside and went up and said, "Oh, my God, Latrell Sprewell, I'm such a big fan." They turned to Larry Johnson and they handed him their phone. And they said, "Can you take a picture of us?" And Larry Johnson said, "Hell no." Morenci Unfiltered continues.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHope, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHope at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Get on the grid, literally and figuratively. Let's get on the grid with the one and only Jim Day, who normally throws it down with my boy Ventura and Colonel Kurtz. But we're in the off season right now. So he's working on his music. He's already working on his rankings and waiting for free agency to hit the National Football League. And, you know, we've been heavy basketball as of late, and rightfully so. You know, we're in the middle of, you know, we're entering what is basketball season, but it's never a bad time to talk NFL football. And of course, earlier in the week, it was dropped that the NFL plans on adding a wild card game in each conference. So there'll be seven teams per conference that make the playoffs. And now instead of two first round byes, there'll only be one. And to me, that's what's really key about this. Everybody's sort of focusing in, oh, there's going to be three wild card games on Saturday and Sunday now. Yeah, that's cool for the bettors and stuff. I get it. But the big ramifications as far as the impact of the league, in my opinion, is the fact that, you know, this is what, you know, it really shakes things up, guys. Think about it. Like all these two seeds that have had home field suddenly wouldn't suddenly, and it would have a major impact on the playoffs. Forget about the wild card stuff. A wild card team hasn't won since 2012, all right? You know, Duck Hodges wasn't going anywhere if they would have made the playoffs this year. And that's who would have been in the playoffs under this format. And then don't forget fantasy football. And that's why I thought of the fantasy Taz. Jim Day steps up and in. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, I'm doing great, Gabe. Thanks for having me on.
So, Jim, we're in the offseason right now. And, you know, the NFL offseason is always – it's never a bad time of the year. Listen, I've been in this industry, and I'm talking about radio and TV for 18 years now, and I've learned NFL is king, bro, right? You can talk about NFL on Christmas Day while the NBA games are going on, and you'll get calls. You'll get questions. Like people, doesn't matter. 4th of July, Christmas Day, it's like Jerry Seinfeld once said, I could read the sports section if my hair was on fire, right? Like people, oh, NFL, they peak up, but this year, Jim, the offseason is going to be insane with all these quarterbacks that are available right now. Never seen anything like it.
No, absolutely not. This is an amazing wealth of talent that, you know, might be available at this point. All the speculation, some of these names may report back to their same teams, but at this point, we just don't know what the likelihood of all of that will be.
No, you're right. There's no guarantees. Yeah, you're right. Brady hasn't left, but let's get into the format change. What was your initial thought when you heard about this, that the NFL, right, seven teams per conference, one bye now suddenly?
I actually don't mind it. Actually, look, we get another football game in the playoffs that I like. It probably will extend the season a little bit. They're also talking about going to a 17-game season within the next couple of years if they get to what they want out of this. So all of that combined, I mean, if they go to a 17-week season and you have seven teams in the playoff, only one team going on bye from each conference, then you're probably looking at being able to extend that another week in fantasy football instead of, you know, having to end it in week 16. There'll be far less teams sitting players in that week 17 game, especially if there's a week 18 when they go to the 17 game season. So, you know, it's going to push fantasy football out a little bit further, which, you know, always makes it fun. More you can do. Everybody always hates the end of week 16 when the season's over and they can't do anything more except wait for the playoffs. So, you know, it does help in that way. And I do believe there'll be far fewer teams sitting players as more people are jockeying for all those playoff positions with only one team getting the bye.
No, it does. It's a lot like the NBA All-Star format, in which at first it sounded kind of gimmicky and confusing. But when you actually break it down, as I stated, everyone's going to look at those wild card games. But think about the competition factor now in the National Football League. How many times have we seen over the years where a team is, they get off to that 12-1 start, 13-1 or whatever. And then, like, you know, Baltimore didn't play guys for like 2 weeks this year. They didn't have to. And then they were kind of cold, actually. So it doesn't always help. I mean, look, they had a bye and they didn't play Lamar for the last week. So he was off like forever. And as Jim stated, and we've all been there, and even like, you know, I like to get the fantasy football playoffs going pretty early because I want it to be justifiably settled, Jim. But a couple of years ago, I was kicking the crap out of people. And like, you know, it was a big league too. You know, it was a lot of money at stake. It was about $3,600 at stake. I'm kicking the crap out of everybody. It was last year, not this year, but last year, the Rams. Because I stacked up on Rams. I had Goff, I had Gurley, and I had I had Kupp, whatever. I was stacked on Rams, so I kicked the crap out of everybody. And since this is unfiltered, I'll say I kicked the shit out of everybody, Jim, all year. And then I don't know if you remember that Sunday nighter against the Chicago Bears. Game didn't really matter to them. It was kind of late in the season, but it was one of those questions. I was like, man, they're playing, so I can't bench Todd Gurley, but I don't feel good about this today. They totally rolled over, didn't quit, didn't affect them at all. They were up by like six games on everybody. And I lost. I got eliminated. And man, did it piss me off. So even if we don't move, let's say this year they actually do this and it's official. And there's not 17 games, but there actually is only one bye. And there is only, you know, there's seven teams. It'll make it funner actually, Jim, right? So now at least everyone really will sort of have full lineups for most of the fantasy football season, because it does suck to play for 14 weeks and get screwed over at the end.
And it happens way too often to everybody. It's just the way it is. I mean, yeah, I've seen undefeated teams go into the playoffs and lose in the first week if that league didn't have a bye setup. So it happens all the time. It's been happening for years. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, well, fantasy football, it's it. It's... And, you know, people love it. And I like the standings and people going head to head and stuff like that. But of all, you know, really the best team should be who has the most points, right? Because that's the thing. It's so freaking random. I mean, you're playing for big money. You know, you win. Oh, you had 96 points. You had a bad week. But you know what? The dude you played had an even worse week. And, you know, some other guys, 149 points and he gets eliminated. But I guess fantasy football, Jim, is like real life. It's not fair. It is. It's random. You can get lucky and win a lot of money, or you can get screwed and lose. It's a lot like real life, Jim.
It is. It is definitely a lot like real life. One minute you're on the highest of highs, the next minute you're all the way down at the bottom. It's just the way it is. But, you know, it's a fine line to walk, because you want to have as much participation as you want. You want people to be involved all year, but at the same time, you know, you hate to lose that one game and put yourself out, especially if you've been dominating all season. But there's nothing that can be done. That's what, to me, that's like one of the best things about the game, is because I don't care who you are, I don't care how you got there. All you have to do is get to the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, anything is possible.
Yeah, I think fantasy football, that's why it's the most popular. I think everybody, you know, like you said, everybody has a chance. I've said this before, Jim, and not that fantasy football is like easy. You know, it's not easy to be good at anything, but there's a lot of bad takes, dude, about like the NBA and stuff, Jim. Like, you know, I cover all sports, you know, 365. So I hear people, oh, this guy's terrible in the NBA. This team sucks. That coach sucks. Because they see them once on TV on a Tuesday night, once a month on TNT, right? And it's like, dude, the hell do you know about the Milwaukee Bucks, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know the Greek freaks on the team. I get it. Like, really? You know the nuances of the team? And, like, who's, you know, oh, yeah, tell me about Eric Bledsoe. You know, tell me how he's played the last 2 weeks. Yeah, you know, they don't know, right? Baseball, same thing. If you, you know, you got to watch, you know what I mean? You can't just be a casual guy and start like bitching about the Mets lineup and, you know, or like Frank Stample going off about, you know, this guy and, you know, the FIP and all this other crap. That's, you know, all these new stat terms, Jim, I don't even know anymore. You know, I jumped off at WHIP. All right. Yeah. WHIP is cool. After WHIP, it's like, all right, guys, you're starting to lose me, you know, the bat FIP and no, but you know what I mean? You know, you still have to be into it.
Exactly.
Everybody watches football, though, Jim. You know what I mean? Every jackass watches every game every Sunday at Buffalo Wild Wings. So they've actually seen it. It's not like other, like, you know, they might have bad, like, opinions on it, but they've actually seen it. People, like, they don't actually see other sports, but they're still, like, so-called experts. Ah, Jordan, LeBron. It's like, man, you've seen LeBron play, like, 20 times in your life, right? Like, but everybody's seen Andy Dalton play, like, 90 times. You know, if you think about it, like, you've seen, like, every NFL team, everybody knows something about an NFL team. So it's sort of like a mini equalizer, especially in DFS, Jim. Like, yeah, like, put it this way. Like, NBA, I don't have a hope in hell of beating Dick Meyer, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, and these guys, and I'm not just talking because we have, you know, 1,500 lineups and stuff, but, or like Major League Baseball. You know, I might see something, and I don't know that this guy's terrible against the curveball when it's windy. Like, Ricky Sanders bust out some stuff. Okay, when they're wearing black socks on the road, he struggles, and he's only hit 212. And, like, you know, stuff like that, you're not going to know, right? But football, hey, anybody can get lucky, Jim. And, oh, can you believe it? The defense I had 3 pick sixes, and I won. Like, it's so random, football.
Well, okay, there's definitely randomness, but there's randomness in the other sports too. So there is that.
Well, there's injury in the other sports.
That dominate one sport, not 90% of the time, if they play the other sports, they're pretty good at those as well.
Yeah, you know, but listen, are you an expert fantasy baseball player as well?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Not at all. I am not I haven't watched baseball steadily in years. You know what? It really came when the whole steroid thing happened. It really put me off. Not the fact that they did the steroids, but that the league went so indignant when they supposedly found out they did the steroids.
Well, this cheating stuff's
worse
than
steroid use for years, and then all of a sudden it's out there. Oh my God, we can't believe that happened. We got to punish all these guys, and that just really turned my head and really. Well, you said it's, you know, this is unregulated, so it really pissed me off.
You know, one thing, and I'm not trying to state all football is totally random, because no, it isn't. I wish it was. I would win more because I think I've lost more than I've won. I think the skill really comes into play in the waiver wires, understanding the backup running backs, the backups, and sort of the under-the-tier players. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jim Day talking NFL football.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
On the grid, sports grid, I am Morency. It's Morency Unfiltered. We're talking NFL football with Jim Day. And all this fantasy football talk actually has me ready to play some fantasy football. I think I'll dive in to a little XFL DFS for the first time. I've been betting on the XFL, but I haven't played XFL DFS yet. We can get to that. We'll get into the XFL more on Friday's podcast. But Jim Day with us, the Fantasy Taz. So, Jim, we brought it up earlier. Very, very intriguing. A lot of quarterback situations. And normally you would be like, wow, like Marcus Mariota is not amazing, but he's not terrible either. Like, you know, we're talking about, the second overall pick in a draft from a couple of years ago. Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater. You go down the list and, you talk about the bigger names that are out there. The older guys, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers. We could go on and on. There's just so many different tiers of quarterbacks available. The Ryan Tannehills of the world. Cam Newton. I could go on and on, Jim. And it's really hard. It's hard to place these guys until sort of one of them signs somewhere. And then you can sort of start to put it together, man, because it's all over the place right now, Jim. All we know is that Philip Rivers is not the quarterback of the Chargers anymore. That's all we know factually.
True. Although New Orleans did come out today and say it looks like, they're bringing Breeze back. Breeze said he's coming back. So that should be a pretty sold thing as well.
Well, I expected that. I didn't, I wasn't expecting
me too.
Expecting him to retire. But, it's really, Jameis Winston is interesting. But where do you want to see, where would you like to see these guys end up? Because to me, Jameis Winston is going to be a lot more in demand than I think the media or fans are talking about. We're talking about a guy that can sling it around the park. He's showing more maturity. Is he the smartest guy in the world? No, but he's also not. He's not Antonio Brown. And he has gotten in better shape, Jim. He had a nice year last year. I get it. He was around a lot of talent and there's the turnovers, but the guy can air it out. I'm just stating, don't be surprised if he ends up on the Raiders. I think the Chargers are a dark horse still for Jameis Winston, and the Chargers surprise everybody. Someone's going to sign Winston, and I don't think it's going to be Tampa, but make a couple of predictions for me.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I disagree. I think Winston stays in Tampa. I think he does what Bruce Arians wants him to do and air it out. I think Arians tries to try and limit his mistakes, but hopefully the LASIK surgery he got maybe helps with that. Maybe he stops seeing four of his receivers when there's only two. Who knows? But I think he does what Arians wants. He airs the ball out. People are talking about Phillip Rivers going there. I don't see that. Rivers doesn't have the arm strength anymore to go down the field as much as Arians wants to do, and I just don't see that being a good fit. There are other guys that can do it, but I just think he's going to end up. I think Winston's going to stay there. I think Tannehill's going to stay as well in Tennessee. I mean, at this point, if they don't keep him, they're just showing that how badly run they are. The man played out of his mind and had the best year he's ever had once he finally got out of Miami. And to let him go, I think, would be a huge mistake. Bridgewater is going to be a key one because it's obvious he's not going to get a starting job in New Orleans at this point. New Orleans is talking about Breeze, and then they're, of course, talking about Taysom Hill after that. Although Taysom Hill's already 30 years old, so I don't know what they're looking for, him ever being a starting quarterback. It's going to be interesting what happens there. I think Bridgewater is going to be a key. I think he might be one of the early fallers because, at least he's still got age left to him. We've seen him play pretty well with New Orleans when Breeze was hurt. And, you don't have to deal with that age that you're dealing with these other guys. Now, Mariota, I don't know if Mariota's going to get another shot at the starting job, but he might. Some team like Washington that doesn't want to pay a lot to bring somebody in to, play in front of Haskins till Haskins is ready because he's obviously not yet, will be interesting. Prescott, I think he stays in Dallas, but they're going to end up paying a big amount for him. And, it's interesting. They definitely have some money issues under the cap, and they got three big guys. They still got to sign in free agency, or, you know, propose to sign a free agency with Cooper and Jones as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. But I think Bridgewater is going to be a key here, where he could go. I think Rivers, you know, they're talking a lot about him going to Indianapolis now. You know, not a bad fit, but only if they can get another key receiver there. Paris Campbell didn't really do anything as a rookie, hurt a lot of the season, didn't really get a chance to get up to speed. Maybe he takes a step forward, but if not, they need to find another receiver to get over opposite T.Y. Hilton and do the job.
Yeah, is Phillip Rivers better than Jacoby Brissett? I'm not sure he is.
Well, I think they're really sour on Jacoby Brissett at this point. He just, you know, he started out the year strong. He looked pretty good. Everybody was like, well, we don't need Ruff. Yep. He's doing the job for us. And then something happened to him. I have no idea what, but all of a sudden he just started making bad mistake after bad mistake. You know, not reading defenses. Maybe the defenses were figuring him out and coming up with ways to confuse him, because he just didn't look like the same player after the first four or five games.
There were a lot of injuries on the Colts, on the offensive side of the football. He didn't have a ton of weapons to work with. Hilton, as you mentioned, Campbell didn't do much, bring much to the table. Hilton was always hurt. There was a their O-line wasn't as good suddenly. And it wasn't just because of luck, but you're right. And I like Brissett, and he did regress. And I swear we see this, Jim. I remember Trevor Siemian with Denver, like the first like six games, he was pretty good. I was like, wow, everyone laughed at Elway for this paying this guy $500,000, but he's getting a job done. And then by week 10, you're like, oh my God, this guy's terrible. Right? Like, and
well, a lot of that comes from a defense finally getting film on a player.
Yes.
And realizing what their weaknesses are in playing to them. I mean, Kyle Allen was the same way.
Yeah, you can disguise a guy's weaknesses for a couple of weeks in a spot here, in a spot there. But Bridgewater, you know, you said Bridgewater's interesting because the guy's a winner, yet he's in a weird spot. No one's going to give him $30, $35 million a year. He might be a short-term guy. You know, like, if you want to win and you need a guy now, I think Bridgewater's your guy. Like, Bridgewater to the Chargers would be intriguing. You know, he's not that deep down the field guy, but they want to run the ball a lot with Anthony Lynn. Like, Bridgewater's better than Tyrod Taylor is, and Tyrod Taylor's their QB there. You know, and then we didn't even talk about the young guys, you know, and the draft picks, you know, like if you're a team. That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone just sort of assumes, oh, Miami's going to sign Tua. I don't know. Like, maybe Miami turns around and shocks everyone. Yeah, we just signed Jameis Winston. Maybe Gruden tells Mayock, this is our guy. I think, you know, I've always liked him, and he's perfect. You know, it's flashy, vague. You don't know. It's just going to take one. Like they say, it's like life. It only takes one GM to shake things up here a little bit. But a guy like Mariota, I'm thinking, like, he's sort of perfect for a team like the Bears, Jim, right, where you don't want to throw Trubisky under the bus just yet, but a lot like what Tannehill did with Mariota, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, hey, dude, you're still the starter, but we just brought in a guy that started before. And I'm sure people laugh at that, but no one said, Jim, when the Titans signed Tannehill, oh, God, what a great move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really. No.
No, it's like, oh, yeah, that's a great move, man. They bring Tannehill in. People are like, yeah, whatever. Right? And then,
yeah,
look,
I was burning that move like crazy. I'm like, exactly. I was never a Tannehill fan.
You know what? I'm not just saying this because I'll admit I've been wrong about a lot of guys, but I always liked Tannehill. I have. I've thought that being a Bills fan, I've seen the guy a lot. And being a degenerate gambler, I've watched a lot of college football, Jim. So I actually know Ryan Tannehill, like, you know, his whole life, essentially. Not high school, but I remember Ryan Tannehill, like, as a wide receiver. And, like, watching him as a wide receiver. And then I remember him being moved to quarterback. And I also remember thinking, you guys are nuts drafting this guy 7th overall. Right? Like, that's the thing. Was it Ryan Tannehill's fault, or was he just drafted too high? You know what I mean?
Yeah, really. It's just sometimes you don't know. Those drafts, where somebody gets drafted could absolutely affect their career, no doubt about it. If they don't live up to that early draft pick really quickly, then look, like Josh Rosen, he gets thrown aside.
Yep.
You know, at this point, he may still be a backup in Miami. We don't know, but it looks like they'll keep him, but knows if he'll ever get a shot to be a starter again.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're right. I mean, who knows how many guys out there, how many backup quarterbacks, like if we had like a supercomputer or like, you know, we could just sort of like, you know, say, all right, run the tape. What happened? Like, who knows? Like, you know what I mean? Like Tom Brady, they fell ass backwards into Tom Brady, right? You know, like Dak Prescott drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. They were ready to take Connor Cook. Literally and figuratively, the Raiders took Connor Cook the pick before, okay? They took, like, they drafted literally the pick before. The Cowboys were pissed. It was like one of the scouts just basically was excited and said, all right, guys, tell me, just take this Dak Prescott guy. If you want the quarterback, just take Dak. They were like, yeah, all right, whatever. I guess, like, they stormed out all pissed off. You know where Connor Cook is this week, Jim? He's the backup quarterback with the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL.
Yes, he is.
Like, these genius NFL guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, like I said, like, go back in time. I love to be in that war room. Son of a bitch, Connor Cook's gone. And they're kicking things and smashing things. And, yeah, Connor Cook is a backup quarterback in the XFL. Jim?
Yeah, it's crazy how often they get it wrong.
Yeah. No, it really is. And then the same people, you know, like, look, like the Bill Polian guy still wouldn't even say Lamar Jackson was a Pro Bowl or All-Pro this year.
Yeah, right.
Like, dude, time to admit you were wrong there, Bill. All right, you got it wrong, guy. Like, just, you know, admit it. But, yeah, these man, you see it all the time. Like, NFL, there's a lot of smart football people out there, Jim, but they do also do a lot of stupid freaking things. It's like, it's amazing. NBA, same thing. Like, for all the smart, genius guys out there, it's like, are you kidding me? You traded for this guy? Like, why? But nevertheless, it's good to catch up with you, Jim. We'll definitely touch base when more news breaks. Thanks for the time, Jim.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Gabe. Have a good rest of your show.
There's Jim Day. Get on the grid.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.